Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 10. Ecclesiastes, chapter 10, and we'll read verses 2 through 5 together. I'll read this passage responsively. Ecclesiastes 10, verses 2 through 5. Ecclesiastes, chapter 10, verses 2 through 5. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart at his left. Yea, also, when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him, and he saith to every one that he is a fool. If the spirit of a ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifieth great offenses. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, as an error which proceedeth from the ruler. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Lord, thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit here. You promised where two or three gathered in your name that you would be in the midst. Lord, there are hundreds and hundreds here tonight, and the presence of the Holy Spirit is quite obvious. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power. Lord, we're sinners. We're such in need of the preaching of the truth. Lord, it's hard to work with one another as sinners because a lot of times we fail each other. Fill our preacher so that we could go out and help more people, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
The title of my sermon this evening is found in the passage of Scripture that we just read here in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, where the Bible says, if the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifieth great offenses. Those words there, yielding pacifieth great offenses. Those words help us with our skill with people. You've heard me say this before. There are a couple things that matter in life. Your relationship with God and your relationship with people. Two things you really need to learn to succeed in life. You need to learn how to get along with people, and you need to learn how to get along with your God. Yielding pacifieth great offenses. If you can learn the lesson that I give you tonight, it's going to help you get along with people. It's going to help you especially get along with leaders. Let me tell you a little story. A bus worker once asked me, they said, what do I do when a teen bus rider's mother won't let her come back to church? I can't even remember the reasoning behind why this mom was not going to let her daughter come back to church on the church bus. Now, you have to understand something, though. The unsaved can't be expected to understand spiritual things. They don't make sense to them. The unsaved people don't have the Holy Spirit to explain saved things to them. So, here you have an unsaved mama. She said to the bus captain, my daughter can't come back. Now, the bus captain says, what do I do? I want that daughter to come back. So, you have a non-spiritual leader, that mama, was offended about something spiritual that her daughter had been taught. This is what I told that bus worker. I said, you've got to back up that mother's wishes. That young lady is under the age of 18. She's not out living on her own. She lives in that mother's home. Now, and I told the bus worker, I said, you've got to abide by that mother's wishes. And then I said, you do this. You teach that mom that if her daughter came, we would teach that daughter that mama is the boss. I said, but we've got to make sure that we demonstrate that by submitting to that mother about her own daughter. Hey, and I want you to know, I really don't think that mother should stop her daughter from coming to church, but that mother is the mother of that daughter. And I don't have control over that. I said, but you do this. When you go back, you tell that mom that we believe that she is God's appointed ruler in her daughter's life, and that we'll teach her daughter to obey her. You tell her that if she lets her come back, we won't let your daughter sneak off. We're not going to do that. We're going to teach her daughter to submit to her. We're going to tell her daughter not to go against her. We're going to tell her daughter if she sneaks off that we're going to tell mama she better not be sneaking off and trying to get on our bus. I told the bus worker, if you'll tell the mom how we feel about it, it may just be that yielding to that mother will pacify whatever the offense is. That's what these verses teach us. Yielding pacifieth great offenses. I said it may not be long if she understands what we're trying to teach her daughter, that she'll want her daughter to come. So the bus worker did exactly what I said. Went back to the mom and said, listen, you're her mama. And if you say she can't come, okay, we're going to obey that, and we would want her to obey you. At our church, we teach young people that they are to yield or to submit to their parents. Then she began to say, now, if she came, we could help you because we'd teach her to obey you, and we would teach her to love you, and we would teach her that she ought to submit to you. But, if you say she can't come, okay. That mother said, well, if you're going to be teaching her that, I guess it'd be all right if she came. What had happened? Yielding pacified that offense. I hate to tell you this, but I got pulled over for speeding. He saw me. Been long, long time ago. But I got pulled over for speeding. Now, here's what I did. When I knew, what were y'all laughing about? Yeah, you think I'm lying about the long time ago? No. It's been years and years ago. It's Mrs. Owens that got pulled over recently. No. When I drove past that policeman, I looked down at my speedometer, I knew that I was going 61 miles an hour in a 55 mile an hour zone. Don't laugh at me. Everybody in here that does not speed, raise your hand. Everybody in here that does not lie, raise your hand. Stephen Davis rose his hand. They put it up twice. I knew I was doing 61 in a 55. And here's what I did. The minute I seen that police officer, I knew he was going to pull me over. Before he turned his lights on, I pulled over. I got out of my car. I had already, he had not even rolled his window down. I got out of my car. I pulled out. I got my driver's license out. I got my registration out. I had my insurance card. The guy didn't even have to get out of his car. I walked back. I handed it all to him. I said, sir, I want to tell you right now, I was going 61 miles an hour in a 55 mile an hour zone. I deserve to get a ticket. Give it to me. I deserve it. He looked at me. He scratched his head. He said, I can't. He said, but I can't wait to get back and tell the guys about this one. Now, I didn't do that to get out of the ticket. Man, it's funny. It's funny how you think I do what you do. But let me tell you, yielding somehow pacified the offense. Submission or yielding does not come easy for anyone. Yielding is a strength, not a weakness. I taught a lesson here, preached a message one Sunday night, probably 5-6 months ago, called meekness is not weakness, but meekness is power under control. Submission is not weakness, but submission is strength under control. We've been trying to build our building out here, and you all know the story. We've worked at it for a couple years. We're getting closer and closer. And I have to tell you, dealing with the county in regard to all the little hoops, they wanted little Jeffy to jump through so that we could get that building was very difficult. But I want you to know also, I yielded because I didn't want a fence between me and the county. I live here. I plan to die here. And for my enemies, no time soon. But I plan to live here. I plan to die here. And I would like to get along with them if I can. And so we yielded even sometimes. From my angle, I thought their requests were ridiculous. Matter of fact, I thought, don't tell them. I'm sure you won't. I thought, disorganized? Ah, oh, goodness. In my book, A comes before B, not after Z. And I thought, my, are we ever going to get this done if we're taking this route? But we kindly and graciously yielded because we wanted to make sure there were not offenses. When the fire marshal comes to see me, sometimes they want to flex their clout a little bit. Do you know what? I let them look at what they want to look at. And I'll tell you why. They're coming to say, they want this building safe. I want this building safer than they want this building safe. The fire marshal does not love you. I do. Some people want to fight that particular authority. Now, they may have me do something and I'm thinking, goodness, 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 that's going to cost me a lot of money, but I'm going to tell you something right now. You are important to me. I want you safer than they want you safe. And I yield because I don't want offense. I call the sermon, Yielding Pacifieth Great Offenses. Or, Submission Stifles Stress in Relationships. Submission stifles stress in relationships. Let me talk to you a minute about a couple of words in this passage. The Bible says, yielding pacifieth great offenses. The word yielding here, there's a Greek word, it's marpe. It means this, let your submission be like medicine. Let your submission be like a cure to the problem. Submission can cure a sick relationship. When you have a follower and a leader, you say, what's it going to take if there's tension? Somewhere, somebody has to add the antibiotic of submission. Submission is a healer. And that's what that word yield means. It means a submission that becomes like a medicine. It becomes like a cure to fix the tension between fellowship and leadership. Now, let me give you, I study another word. The word pacifieth. That, the word pacifieth there is the word delay. Actually, what it means is if somebody will submit, it will delay the tension long enough to take the edge off of it. Y'all know what I mean? If at the moment two people get there's contention, if somebody would humble out long enough to let the pressure off so we could all calm down, we could get that thing healed up. But if you get two people and they start butting heads and there's not that submission, you got a problem. Yielding pacifieth great offenses. That's what the Bible's teaching. Now, stay with me if you will. First of all, let me tell you this. The Bible command to yield or to submit is always to the follower first. Children are to obey their parents. God comes to the follower and says, I want you to make sure you do your part. God said, the best way to heal tension is that the follower be the one to add the ingredient of yielding. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Notice, God gives his attention to the child's fellowship. The child's responsibility is not to analyze the parent's leadership. The child is to submit. But just remember this. The Bible teaches, and God gives his attention first to the yielding of the follower to the leader. So child to parent is the first step. Student to teacher. The Bible says in Proverbs 5:13, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. Students should care for their obedience first. God wants the submitter to have a good attitude. And so, what's God saying? God comes to the student and says, make sure that if the, and you'll see it in a minute, it says, if the spirit of the ruler rise against thee, it tells you what to do about it. God is saying here that if the student will humble out and delay and submit, we can sort through this, but the minute that the student challenges the teacher, you're going to have contention. Let me go on. The Bible talks about the people and the pastor. And I don't have a problem in the world with this. Not a problem. I don't have any problem with our people submitting to me. But let me read it to you. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. God comes to the people and says, it's your job to submit to the man of God. It's God's job, then, to scrutinize the man of God. But what happens is, if a spiritual leader and the spiritual follower, if there's contention, somebody is supposed to submit. And God is recommending if the follower would add the medicine of submission, it would delay the tension, it would calm everything down, then we can sort through it and fix it. And if some of you are listening, I could help you with a lot of the contention that you just have in life. Somebody has to say, I don't want this to destroy my relationship with someone. I think I'll practice a little calmness, a little submission. I want to delay this thing so it can heal and my emotions can calm down and we don't have contention. Are y'all listening to me? Let me go on. Wives, submit to husbands. Say amen. Bunch of him cowards. All right. Ephesians 5:22 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. You say, but he's not submissive to God. The Bible does not say submit yourself to your husband if he's submissive to God. Now you say, but wonder if he wants me to rob a bank. Does he? Wonder if he wants me to kill somebody with a machine gun. Your husband asked you to kill somebody with a machine gun? Yeah. Your mother. We come up with some of the stupidest things. Oh, well, wonder if they want me to blow something up. I doubt that has been the request. And what we're talking about here is the everyday things of life. Wives, submit to the husband. See, if there's tension there, and please, this is how God thinks. If there's tension there between the head of the house, which is the man, and the wife, she's one of the leaders of the home. But I have to tell you, the Bible teaches the man is the head of the home. And if there's tension there, God said, look, follower, throw in some submission. Let's delay this thing. Let's calm it down. And if we can delay it and calm it down, it's going to sort out and we don't have to have great offense. Somebody is supposed to add the cure, add the antibiotic of submission so we can get along. Let me go on. Employees and employers. 1 Peter 2:18 says, servant, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to good and gentle, but also to the froward. Employees are to submit with a positive attitude to their employers. An employee is to stay right with God even if the employer is not right with God. If there's tension between the boss and the employee, God said, employee, let me recommend that you humble down, that you be quiet, that you make sure that you don't try to cause a fuss. If you'll do that, you'll delay the tension and you can get things worked out without there being a great offense. Citizens and the government. The Bible says, and Jesus answering said unto them, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God. And they marveled at him. We're not to put government before God. But I'll tell you this. We are to be willing to put others before us. You see, you're to be a strong citizen, even if the government is a weak government. Let me go on. Servants to masters. 1 Timothy 6:1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. Servants need to serve right and leave mastering to the master. But if there's tension between the servant and the master, God said, servant, You throw in the medicine of submission, and that will pacify, or that will delay the tension so it can calm down, and then we don't have to have a great offense. Soldiers and commanders, the Bible says this, Luke 7:8, "For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." The Bible teaches if a commanding officer and a subordinate have a bit of tension, every man here that's ever been in the military knows what you're supposed to do. You submit. You submit. That submission keeps things from blowing up. Privates are told to follow sergeants. Christians to God. The Bible says in James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Hey, that means you have to obey God. Trust Him. You say, I disagree with God. Fine, but go ahead and submit. Go ahead and submit. You say, why? Well, if you're not careful, you're going to stir up the wrath of God, and you'll be sorry you did that, buddy. Submission. Now, so here's what I've said thus far. I told you the word submission, here's the title of the sermon, Yielding Pacifieth Great Offenses. Pacifieth means delay or put it off so it can cool off. The word yielding means let your submission be like a medicine or a cure to this relationship or to this tension. And the Bible teaches that God is instructing that the follower be the one that throws in the submission first. I'm going to tell you, there are some people that are hard to lead. So some of you leaders know there are times when I have to submit to the follower so there's peace. Well, that's hard. There are some times that leaders end up having to throw in the cure to the follower because the follower is so bullheaded and so arrogant and so full of pride, they don't see what they're supposed to do. You say, well, I seem to get along with everybody. Are you getting along with everybody because the leader is humbling out to you so there's not contention? It's not supposed to be that way. Some of you men, you think, we got a peaceful marriage. Some of you women, you think you got a peaceful marriage. It's sad, but there are some peaceful marriages because the man finally gets tired of fussing and says, I give in. I just give in. She's so bullheaded, she won't listen to me. Boy. All right, let's stand for prayer. Now let me go on. Point number two. I said point number one. God is asking that the follower be the one that submits to the leader. Secondly, if the ruler's spirit is bad, you can go ahead and follow. Listen to what it says. If the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee. The whole verse says, if the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifieth great offenses. So, God is coming to us now, and He's saying, if the ruler's spirit is bad, you can go ahead and do right. You can go ahead and follow. What spirit? Attitude. If the boss has a bad attitude, that doesn't mean you're supposed to. We teach our kids not to do that. Well, he hit me! So I guess we just really never get down to growing up, do we? I hit him because he hit me. I cussed her because she cussed at me. I don't think that's what Christianity is. If the boss has a bad attitude, that doesn't mean you have to have a bad attitude back at the boss. If the teacher's having a bad day, don't add to it. If your husband is harsh, and I don't think husbands ought to be harsh. But if your husband is harsh, throw some submission in with that thing. We might be able to heal it, delay it, and then fix it. The leader's bad attitude is not justification for the lack of obedience or submission from the follower. That's what the scripture says. Let me go on to point number three. If the ruler rises up against you, you don't have to quit. Listen to the whole scripture. If the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place. For yielding, pacify it, great offenses. Now I say, number three, if the ruler rises up against you, they've got a bad attitude. They seem to have a bad spirit. You don't have to quit. Hey, just because someone raised their voice at you doesn't mean you have to quit. I'm going to tell every one of you here, every last one of you here, You better learn that leaders sometimes raise their voice. I mean, I wonder how many times those of you that have any maturity to you, I wonder how many times you would have quit a job if you quit just because the leader chewed you out. But in this mamby-pamby society in which we live today, my. But if a ruler rises up against you, you don't have to quit. It is when our pride gets hurt, we just want to run. Everyone, I believe this, I am not justifying this behavior by leadership. I am just telling you how you can calm it down, settle it down, heal it, and then we can pacify a greater offense than what's already occurred. Everybody should be treated with dignity. I try very hard to treat everybody with dignity. I treat my enemies with dignity. I treat people that don't treat me with dignity. I treat them with dignity. I don't gossip about the people that I know gossip about me. I'm not to behave the way I behave because somebody else is doing it to me. And the Bible says you don't have to leave your place if the ruler's attitude has not been good. Everybody should be treated with dignity, but you better be careful. It is your pride that demands you get treated with dignity. Now, really, what you better calculate into this thing, you say, well, I deserve better. Well, we all deserve hell. That's what we all deserve. We're already getting better than what we deserve. But I believe everybody ought to be treated with dignity. But I also believe when you're demanding it for yourself, then probably you need to be a little bit careful. There's a little pride mixed in there. See, here, the Bible says, leave not thy place. You know something? People quit too easily. People just quit things too easily. People quit too easily. People run too easily. If you're ever going to have any seniority where you work, you need to do what I'm teaching you tonight. Why? Because you will be offended by some leader. It's a done deal. People quit too easily. People run too easily. I said this earlier today. Jesus said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, I'm going to guess that's what you'd call pretty harsh discipline for God to call one of the followers Satan. But you also find out that Peter hung in there. He said, I can take my licking and keep on ticking. People leave churches way too easily. People leave their jobs way too easily. Hey, has anybody in here ever been chewed out by a boss? Would you raise your hand for a second? Oh, my goodness. Wow. Any bosses in here ever have to chew anybody out? Yeah. Any wives in here ever have to chew your husbands out? Good, good. You say there was tension there. If we get the pride out of that thing, there could be tension between the leader and the follower, and you don't have to leave. Boy, churches desperately, and people in churches need to learn this. I was, Brother Brining, you've been here 64 years in this church. 62 years. 62 years in the same church. Well, that's backbone kind of Christianity right there. I was talking to somebody in here the other day, worked at the same place for over 50 years. I wonder if in 50 years they got chewed out at least once. You get chewed out every 50 minutes. Wow. Wow. The Bible says, listen to it again. It says, if the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifieth great offenses. God comes to the follower and says, if there's tension, what you've got to do is you've got to throw in a medicine that will help cure that. That medicine is submission. You throw in submission, it will pacify the offense. It will delay it. It will put it off so there's a calming down period, and this offense does not have to become a great offense. He tells us that if the ruler's spirit is bad, your spirit doesn't have to be bad. He tells us if the ruler's spirit is bad, you don't have to quit. He goes on and says, if the ruler rise up against you, your yielding will pacify him. It says, yielding pacifieth. Now remember, that's the delay. Yielding is a shock absorber. Submission creates smoothness. I always told myself when I got called into the boss's office, don't make it worse, make it better. Don't make it worse, make it better. Don't make it worse, make it better. I worked for Dr. Hiles for many years. A couple of times he asked if he could see me in private after a staff meeting. I hate it when that happens. And if I knew why, I always started the conversation with, I'm sorry, I did it, I'm guilty. I didn't want to fight. If I needed to be corrected, I wanted to be corrected. I wanted to keep on loving him. I wanted him to keep on loving me. I wasn't running. I wasn't quitting. I wasn't hightailing. I wasn't going to put my tail between my legs. I just humbled down and say, I'm good with it. Whatever. I even admitted one time something so fast. He said, well, I wasn't going to talk to you about that, but now that you told me, I might as well talk to you about it. Well, that was stupid. The Bible says here, yielding pacifieth. Remember, that word pacifieth means it delays it. It actually means it delays it by breaking it up into little pieces. I wish I had time to tell you everything I studied about it. The verse just started to unfold to me. See, it breaks it into little pieces. You know, sometimes in a setting where there's tension, we just all of a sudden, we want to just take it all on. And God said, submit, relax. Let's break it into some little pieces so this doesn't cause a great big fight. That's what God's saying. It means hold your tongue. Make it better, not worse. Hold your opinion. Hold your opinion. I don't want to fight over opinions. Show humility and respect and take responsibility. Hey, I'm going to ask you a question. Can you let a leader make a mistake at your expense and still have a good attitude? Can I tell you how to get a raise? Can I tell you how you'll run the place someday? If a leader can make a mistake at your expense and you can take it, I'll tell you, that leader's going to watch you and say, that's somebody with some backbone. Usually the whiners, the gripers, the blame casters don't end up running the place. First of all, remember, if the ruler's spirit is bad, we can go ahead and follow. If the ruler rises up against us, we don't have to quit. If the ruler rises up against us, yielding will pacify a greater offense. Let me say this also. Number 5, if the ruler rises up against you, your yielding can pacify great offenses. Great offenses. It means an offense greater than what's already occurred. It doesn't have to be magnified into a royal mess. What do we talk about great offenses? Well, if it's your job, it's losing your job. A greater offense, you do something dumb at work, and somebody won't throw submission in to the tension that comes when correction comes, so somebody gets fired. That's a greater offense. So what could have I done? Maybe had you just humbled out just for a moment, delayed it, showed some submission, let the boss calm down, let you calm down. That medicine of submission, it'll probably heal. We can just, if we can put off the human roller coaster of emotion and rage long enough, we come to our senses. The boy, when we take right off and we're mad, we're going to get somebody. Now you got a problem now. You got a problem now. great offenses. We're talking about losing your marriage. I wonder how many marriages could have been salvaged if someone would have practiced this truth. Watch right this way, young people. I wonder how many people have lost a ministry because they could not practice this right here. I was an assistant pastor for a long, long time. I had to learn to hold my peace, not always give my opinion. And I don't mind you guys' opinions. I don't have any problem with this. I'm in practice this very, very well. Very well. But as an assistant pastor, there were times when if I needed corrected, I had to say to myself once again, in this conversation, I'm going to make it better. I'm not going to make it worse. And if submission is a part of the cure, I want to throw in the antibiotic of submission. We could lose our job. We could lose our marriage. We could lose our ministry. Some of you will lose a lifetime of trust that's been built up between you and someone. Why? Because you won't just throw in that little antibiotic of some submission and back off and relax a second. Let everything calm down. Let's break this into little pieces instead of make it into a great big bomb. The loss of deep family relationships. You know, there are people that just can't find the right job. No, I don't think everybody that changes jobs is bad. I think there are times when people need to change jobs. But there are some that just keep moving around in life because they have not learned the lesson that I'm teaching you tonight. There are people that will go from church to church to church to church. Why? Because the very minute there's tension with a leader, they puff up. And if the leader holds their ground, they pack their duds and they move up the road. From job to job, from marriage to marriage, from leader to leader, from church to church. You know, folks, I think as long as we're doing what we're supposed to be doing doctrinally, if we stick to the old time ways, we're going to find in each one of us as leaders and each one of us as followers, there's going to be times when maybe our spirit gets a little bad or our attitude gets a little bad, but we could just hang around and make it through it. Well, that is, if you believe Ecclesiastes chapter 10, where it says, if the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifieth great offenses. That gives you longevity. That gives you seniority. That keeps you from blowing up a relationship that really just needed a little medicine thrown in at the right time. Sort through the rest later. If you really think through it as human beings, you'll say, yeah, you know what? That'll get it. That'll keep us from having great, damaging, destroying offenses. Leaders lead right. Followers follow right.